So today we're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine, supposed beef with Sosa and the rest of his crew, to shed some light on it. I mean, is he trolling? Does he have people in New York who, while he was in LA, take shots at him? That's just speculation. We can't really say that. Is it a copycat? Someone who wants to make a name for themselves? We don't know. But as we can look at it now, think about it. I mean, these guys are on the top of their game. Well, Treyway's on top of their game. I feel just like Drake did to Pusha T as far as reviving his career. I think he has Sosa name out there more. So, should they thank him? Probably so. But here's a kid who said from a long time he came from nothing. And here he goes now trying to get things done the way he should. So if trolling got him to where he was at, that's good. But the music speaks for itself also. There's a large fan base of people out there that enjoy these things, enjoy this music, enjoy his come up. There's a lot of people out there who probably never had nothing or didn't have a voice, and he opened that platform. Have it be having rainbow hair, you guys probably thought, hey, how can we take him serious? Well, you know what? He made sure that even with rainbow hair that you took him serious. To touch base more on, you know, the Tekashi 6ix9ine and all the other beefs he had, I mean, he spoke to everyone, and many people didn't like what he said, but at this time, no one's touched him. No one's continued to address it. So behind the scenes, there's things going on where there's either he knows a lot of people, he knows some big wigs out there who are saying, hey, you know what, he's allowed to be the way he wants to be. So at the end of the day, you know, you have to commend this person for reaching boundaries and breaking them. I mean, that's just what he's going to do. He's going to continue to do that. And I hope, you know, I get some questions or feedbacks or answers to what you feel about Tekashi 6ix9ine. What makes him good in your eyes or bad? Till next time, drama's pay. Hey guys, it's drama's pad. So yesterday we touched base on the Tekashi 6ix9ine. And like I said, it's not always going to be about rap beefs and things like that. We're going to move over to sports. The Cavs and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, it's becoming repetitive where for the past couple of years, this is who we see in the finals. I know a lot of fans who don't care too much of watching the finals if they're not a fan. I've seen people on my Facebook feed line telling me, you know, they can't stand LeBron, and I'm saying to myself, it's not so much about standing LeBron James for doing what he does, but you got to kind of sometimes think about it. There's days where there was times, you know, we had Kobe Bryant up there, and everybody commended him. We had people up there like Michael Jordan, everybody commended him. This guy's done a lot, you know. And he hasn't been given so many crazy super teams. He had that, what, one super team, I would say, in Miami. And, you know, they won that chip. They wound up leaving out of there. He wasn't going to the Cavs. They win that chip. Next year, he's supposed to be leaving. Hopefully, he signs to them. Maybe he doesn't. My point here is that all around, he's a good player. I'm pretty sure he leaves it always on the court. Same thing with Steph Curry. He leaves it all on the court. They play their heart out. I mean, yes, is it competitive? Of course. Are they going to argue here and there? Of course. Behind the scenes, hey, do they congratulate each other? I'm pretty sure. What I notice about LeBron, he's not a sore loser. He just doesn't want to lose. And I get that. You always want to have that win now mentality. And you need people like that. He brings a lot to the game. And I feel like he should continue to be dominant no matter what. I mean, he dropped 51 points. You know, he's doing things on his own, things that he most likely probably never do. And we're hoping that he continues to be dominant no matter where he goes in life. Are people going to hate? Of course. Life wouldn't be life if we didn't have people who congratulated and hated. I'm a LeBron fan, but do I get tired of seeing them all in the finals all the time? Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel there's a lot of teams. You know, the Pelicans, I feel, had a good shot. I felt, you know, the Rockets had a great season. They had a good shot. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the finals, no matter how good of a season you had, this is what matters. These games are what matters. You know, it's like baseball. You have a great season, but no one's ever going to really care about that. But they're going to care about what you do in the playoffs. They're going to care what you do in those short series. They're going to care what you put out there within those playoff games, those 11 games. You know? So, you know, like I said, you got to commend them for being a good player, for always going out there and giving his all. You know, J.R. Smith did mess that up. That had that game. That was their game. Would I be upset at him? Yeah. You have to be conscious of the game. You have to understand what's going on. Final seconds, tied game, everybody knows that. You know? Are there some fouls over there that he should have got? Yeah. But you know what? We can't dwell on that. But when the game is on the line and you're there looking at the fact that we have so many seconds left, this is a playoff game. This is not a regular season game. This is not something that gets thrown in the loss board and, hey, we'll come back tomorrow. No. Every game counts. I wish them well in the playoffs, but do I think Golden State got it? Yeah, but can you count out LeBron? No. Are they liable of getting swept? Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But you still can't count them out. And even right now, he's looking like he's going to win the MVP on a losing team. But that's for everyone else to decide and for everyone else to, you know, think about. What has LeBron done for his teams when he has played? We act as if he never goes out there and drips that sweat on that court. We act like he goes in there dry, comes out dry. That guy comes out of there wet. All right? He's doing all he can. If he could pass the ball to himself throughout the whole entire game, I'm pretty sure he would, because he's feeling confident. He feels these are things that he can do. Guess what? He's a team player. And he expects his teams to be in spots. I'm pretty sure they go through practice all the time. And he's like, listen, we got to do this, we got to do that. He's always thinking. And, you know, we can't be mad at him on that. But later on today, you know, I wanted just getting up. I had a rough night just looking at the playoffs and things of that nature. But when we come back later on today on our segment, we're going to talk about the baseball season, how things are going. We're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox. We're going to talk about the Yankees. We're going to talk about the Houston Astros. All right, so see you later. Drama's Pat. All right, so pretty much this is going to be David's insight on a trade for DeGrom, right?
Right.
Right. What you willing to accept? We already said Gleyber Torres is off the table. I said Gleyber Torres is off the table. Not something that you just said, but Gleyber Torres is off the table.
But he has to be on the table.
On the third baseman is off the table.
He has to be on the table.
And we got, like, other people.
The reason why I say he should be on the table is because a couple of years back, people wanted DeGrom. And, well, no, Mets were asking for trade, and people wanted DeGrom. And DeGrom wasn't making a name for himself. So I feel if the Yankees were to make a trade for DeGrom, they would have to give up their young prospect that basically is on fire. And the Mets are not going to settle for anyone else that's not making a big splash for them right now. It makes no sense. Yes, they are a young team. They're young players that could make an impact for the team in the future. But the Mets have a lot of players like that. And one of the players I said was Michael Conforto. And we also have Brandon Nemo. So I feel like going after somebody, especially in the infield, will be great. Especially a guy like Torres and a third base, yes, will be perfect. You know, anybody that could play that third base. I'm pretty sure Gleyber Torres could play third base. So that'll be something. And it has to make sense. It makes sense. I mean, you're going after a guy like DeGrom, who's probably a 8-strikeout pitcher, average. 8 to 10 strikeouts. I mean, on a regular night, eight strikeouts. On a hot night, 10 to 12 strikeouts. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't give up too many. He doesn't walk too many batters, and he doesn't give up too many hits. So, and that's easily your number two starter. And if you guys have injuries in there, he could be your number one starter. So, definitely top three rotation. So, which is very hard to get.
A straight up swap? Because you're asking for a guy.
Well, maybe
that we
you
start.
Could throw in Clint Frazier in there in the mix.
No, you're asking for an everyday player that you know is going to save you at least what? Maybe 5 runs a game. Easy at his position. Ain't nothing getting by him. On a daily basis, I've seen him play. Nothing ever gets by him. Like, if it's hits on him, and even if it's not hits on him, he's like, he's there, bro. You know what I mean? So now if you're talking about a straight up swap, and even then, I don't even think the Yankees will pull the trigger on that. They will probably try to give you their farm system for DeGrom before they give up that everyday player in Torres. Or they might start it out with Miguel, and only because you got this guy, what's that guy from the Orioles, Manny Machado. He's going to be in the offseason. So they might say, hey, okay, we'll give you him, and then we'll start him off with something. Our third baseman, and then start off that package. But I think Gleyber is probably one of the Yankees. It's like, he's like a Derek Jeter. He's just untouchable. Like, it wouldn't even come up. And if it did, it was like, no. Like, why ask that?
Well, like I said, I know there's been a lot of talks with Clint Frazier, and a lot of people have felt Clint Frazier was going to be the second coming of, I don't know what player you could probably think of, but a lot of people speak highly of Clint Frazier. But Torres is making noise, and I'm pretty sure the Mets are going to want to go after him. I mean, if I was the GM, I would go after Torres. Why not? We're giving you DeGrom. I mean, in National League right now, you got a lot of good pitchers. I get that. But who wouldn't want DeGrom? Especially if you guys are lacking a number two starter. I mean, you guys have three pitchers on that rotation that could be your number two starter. DeGrom will eat them alive. Right? I mean, Severino is probably going to be arguably your ace, right? Because Severino is
definitely our ace.
He's your ace. So just imagine. I mean,
it's 10-2. I mean,
imagine what DeGrom would be if you guys have him with Severino, right? I mean, you got to
judge. We will.
You got to judge this trade.
We'll have a 1-2 punch
in a postseason point of view, right?
Postseason.
You guys are playing the Astros in the postseason. So game 1 and 2 is going to be, or however you want to put it, game 1 and 3, whatever it is. You guys got Severino and DeGrom, right? If you guys got home field, yes, you're number one and you're number two starters for games 1 and 2, right? That's like a 75-80% chance of winning games 1 and 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong chance. That's like a Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling combination. Possibly, right? Possibly.
And they could win a game 5. And they could go on 3 days rest.
Yes.
So.
And those two won easily beat the Yankees by themselves, right? Johnson and Schilling.
Yeah.
Because nobody else won in that series. Nobody else. It's Schilling and Lane right. Johnson.
They kept coming out every couple games.
That's
they kept
it. And the desperate time, they threw Schilling out, even off the bullpen of game seven, just to throw it in there. Even though Soriano took him a long ball. But it's what it is. You know, you're not expecting Curt Schilling to go crazy, you know, to pitch on short days rest and dominate. But still, like,
So for your trade, even if they didn't take Torres, you'll take Miguel and a couple of other people in the roster.
You mean your third baseman right now?
Our third baseman right now. Because we can always go for another third baseman, or we can use Drury
that we got from the Mets. Are going to go with who's producing right now?
They both are.
But who's producing out of the two?
They both are. They're both on fire. I mean, if you want to go average out third baseman, average-wise, is up at 3-something. Our young player, he had a little slide, but then he came back. He's batting about 292.
Here's the question. Who would you keep?
Me? I'm going to keep Torres, without a doubt. I'm going to keep him. I'm going to keep him. But I don't know if they're going to give him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what it's going to be. Because I'm pretty sure the Mets are not going to want to give up the ground that easy. No way.
No.
Not to give the ground. I mean,
I respect them.
You know, they gave Harvey because Harvey fucked up is what it is, but excuse the language. Harvey messed up.
Mm-hmm.
He partied too much. He wasn't being professional in his profession. But that's already. They sent him to the Reds, so the Mets ended up getting up Morocco, whatever his name is, the catcher.
Right.
Right, so you know he's pretty good. That's something that they could toy with later on when the Mets get healthy. But for now, you're giving up DeGrom. You got to go after your best player. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, in any team, they're gonna have to give up something big.
I'm pretty sure whoever they give up, I mean, they're gonna evaluate it, and it's gonna be for a good reason. And again. You know what I'm saying? You never know. The Mets might actually bite on that third baseman.
I mean, with I guess a Clint the counter. Frazier. The counter would be, all right, if you're giving up Torres, okay, if the Mets had to give up somebody to kind of complement, maybe not replace, but complement Torres, then the Mets will probably give up Amer Rosario with DeGrom, which is the Mets' top shortstop who could play second base. You know what I'm saying? And who's pretty much a good contact hitter. So it's not, you know, but you're still getting DeGrom. That's the thing. Like, when it comes down in the trade is who, what would you want to value more? Like, the Mets, like, obviously the Yankees would want to, like, really master their pitching rotation.
Well, they want pitching because they know they're hitting no matter what. What I'm trying to say, regardless with Gleyber there or not, yes, Gleyber makes us a better team, but without Gleyber doesn't make us a bad team neither. We're still going to hit regardless. So, I mean
yeah, that's the reason I'm getting Stanton, because you guys can get protection in your lineup.
We're going to hit regardless. It's just, yeah. You know, he is very impactful, that kid. And he's going to, I mean,
if I had to say who's more impactful in the game, would be DeGrom. Because just imagine DeGrom in pinstripes fanning about 9 to 10 batters through 5. I mean, he can do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think there was a game he had, like, what, 15 strikeouts?
Sure.
I think he just went crazy, you know? Especially, I mean, I understand National League is National League, and pitching in the American League is different with the DH, but just imagine DeGrom, who got hurt early in the year because he had the bat, and he took a wild swing, and he tweaked his elbow a little bit. He doesn't have to do that in American League.
That's what landed our pitcher, Tanaka, on the disabled list.
Yeah, exactly.
Running them bases.
You know, and I just feel like, I think Wang was another guy you guys had that was amazing, and then he ran the bases and he tweaked. But put him in American League, any pitcher you get in American League, just because of American League and they don't have to bat, just makes them a more dangerous player than before.
Right.
And I feel like if DeGrom goes to American League, he's just going to be
dominant.
Lights out. I mean, he's a nasty. He's got a nasty four seamer. Okay, but his cut fastball is good. His slider is good. You know, and he sets up good pitches, and he keeps you in the game. He gives you 7 strong innings without a shadow of a doubt. You guys have a good bullpen to sit him down for the 8th and 9th. So, just, you got to look at it from the postseason point. Postseason standpoint, like, this guy is going to be very
postseason very on paper. I mean, I wouldn't lie to you. That would be just stupid to lie. Would him and Severiano pretty much take us two games all the time? On paper, it would look like you guys win those two games automatic.
Right.
To them, it's like they'll go at least seven strong. You know what I mean? Especially in the postseason where, for some strange reason, it seems like, I'm not saying batters don't show up, but it always seems like pitchers show up more. You know what I mean? There's more strikeouts. It's more intense. It's like every pitch counts. Every, you know what I'm saying, at bat counts, to the point where sometimes during the regular season where a batter would normally swing at a certain pitch, they don't. And like they're freezing up, and then they're getting those calls for strikes. And it becomes a pitcher's duel a lot of times in the postseason. You know what I'm saying? So to have those dominant pitchers that you're talking about right now up there, I think it'll enhance you even more, to the point that you would think, on paper, that's a definite, you know what I'm saying, 1-2. You're definitely going to win those two games. You know what I'm saying?
See, now, here's my theory also, right? A question, basically, right? And the way I would kind of, like, narrow it down would be, if there's a hard choice to make between making the trade happen, throwing Torres in the Met uniform, throwing DeGrom in the Yankee uniform, if you want to kind of debate it, the only way that was, like, resolve that problem would be what would happen and in a one-on-one match with DeGrom pitching to Torres, who would actually win that? See, because, like I said, it's one thing. Torres is having probably a very good start to his career, and, you know, he's been the spark plug for the Yankees because he just cannot stay off base. He's always on base. He's always scrapping for hits. He's always going to do the little things to get on base, the power things to get the runs. But if DeGrom was to pitch to him, who would win that? And if Torres dominates DeGrom, then, hey, you know what? Torres gets to stay in New York with the Yankees. But if DeGrom dominated him and dominates him, or if Torres is a different hitter compared to, you know, trying to hit against DeGrom, and he can't really overcome that to try to get on base, there's a reason why you make that trade. I mean, it's a fact. It has to be. I mean, there's no other way to go around it. You know, DeGrom is our most consistent pitcher right now. Like, Syndergaard obviously is our best pitcher, but consistent wise, it's bigger than better, right? Because if you're on the mound,
right, if you're giving quality much, starts, I mean,
that counts more than just what mechanics you have.
And you got to think about quality starts that he's getting. He's just probably not getting run support, but he is going out there. He's giving you good innings. You know what I'm saying? He's putting up those Ks. He's eating innings up. He's giving you a chance to stay in the game, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure all that account. Again, we don't know what they're going to think. I'm pretty sure, just the way Cashman spoke about Gleyber Torres, that's not even in any conversation. And if they did approach, I guess, the Mets, like I said, I'm pretty sure they have to start with someone that's MLB ready.
Well, that's not in any conversation because DeGrom hasn't been brought up yet. You know, I'm pretty sure, I mean, a lot of these teams that were trying to go for trades and trying to throw in little trades, they actually try to throw little tit for tat players. You know, like, well, we'll throw you our prospect who's number two on our list. And obviously, Cashman's not going to bite on that because he figures, hey, listen, that's number two on your list. He's number one on our list. So there's no way. But throwing a guy who's an all-star into that mix, consistent, doesn't have too much injuries under his belt, you know, and when he's on the mound, he's dangerous. I mean, I understand if you're trying to go out to Syndergaard, then maybe that's something that, okay, look, man, the guy's been hurt already twice or maybe three times. He hasn't been consistent on the mound as far as trying to finish a game or even get to a game. But a guy like DeGrom has pitched. He's been on the mound. And you know what he could do when he's on the mound. So, you know, even when the Mets had their woes last year, he was still consistent. So just imagine what he would do with the protection, with the run support. He would not lose a game. I'll be the first to tell you, if DeGrom is in pinstripes, he's probably going to go on a 12-game winning streak. 12-winning start winning streak. That's how I put it. 12-start winning streak. His 12 starts, he will win those games. He'll probably lose his 13 because 13 is a bad number. Or something happened where he just...
It's either he's winning games or he's having a no decision. But other than that...
Yeah, he's going to win. Don't see him he's going to win. No, I think he's going to win. I think with the run support that the Yankees are providing, he's going to win about 12 starts.
It's, so it's, far, they their run support's boasted the league so far.
Yeah.
I think they're running like 5, maybe 6 runs per game.
Yeah, from the analytics standpoint, yeah, that's just the right deal. It's the right deal. Like, the percentage we're winning percentage the Yankees are putting right now, with the record they have right now.
The backlash.
It's great.
The backlash that Cashman will get because no one will understand if he gave up Gleyber Torres for DeGrom. I know there'll definitely be a backlash amongst fans because... Yeah. Just amongst fans itself. They wouldn't understand the reason. Like, let's say, we'll understand the reason, and then later on, maybe they'll come into grips with it, but right away, I'm telling you, it'll be backlash. I mean, they'll fucking boom all day.
I don't think there'll be a backlash because, number one, the Yankees came into the offseason bringing in power hitters. First of all, you have Stanton and Judge. Like, that is your... That's like Thor and... Captain America, right? Let's go with comic book, you know, reference, right? That's Thor and Captain America. That's like your two pieces, or even if you want to go a little different, you want to go with Iron Man and Captain America. Like, those are your two top. You finally got those together, right? So DeGrom would be like, maybe, I mean, just the way he pitches and the strikeouts he produces, maybe he'll be like your Hulk. Right? Like, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, you guys got, well, we have a DeGrom, right? Well, there you go. Because in the offseason, the Yankees made the moves they made. And it wasn't because they felt, well, you know, we're going to bring up Torres. Like, that's going to be our guy. He's going to lead us with Judge. No. The Yankees went on the offseason. They were aggressive. I mean, we all knew that Jeter was going to make the trade anyway. And everybody could argue and say Jeter looked out for the Yankees as a gift and sending Stanton to New York, right? Even
that
though
was
he
a
has
gift.
Tried, well, even it was a gift, right?
That
it
was
a
gift.
Had to be. A
and
gift
I'm a Yankee fan. That was a gift.
That
That's
a gift. That's a gift.
That was like.
Even though he has
okay,
tried
you look
other
at
other teams,
right? That
and,
was a
and,
gift.
And Stanton wasn't.
They
happy.
Had better packages before the Yankees. Other teams had better packages. I'm pretty sure St. Louis had a better package and a better offer out to them than the Yankees had. The Yankees
right.
didn't give up nobody to get a caliber player like this. They did not. So was it a gift? Without a fucking doubt. I mean, I don't doubt that.
It was a gift. But the mindset they have in the offseason was to go further in. They knew what they had to do. And I don't think there'll be a backlash on why they gave up Torres or whatnot. I don't think the fans would be so upset. You got a DeGrom. Now you feel like you're on top of the world. Because what got the Yankees those, the majority, well, let's just say 5 or 6 championships in the course of the 90s and the millennium was pitching. Pitching was a big factor. And yeah. I think if they get the DeGrom, that'll put them right back as the most team to fear. Because a lot of people would say, yeah, the Yankees are the enemies again, right? Okay, well, now they're going to fear the Yankees if they get the DeGrom. So every hitter that's right there is going to have an issue trying to get on base because DeGrom is not going to give you any stingy pitches. He's going to be stingy with his pitches, and he's not going to give you anything to really feel comfortable with. And he's going to pitch inside like he normally does. And trying to beat DeGrom with a down 5-6 runs is very hard. You know? And we saw when the Mets were healthy and what they were producing with the lineup they had in 2015, and DeGrom wasn't even an established pitcher yet. And he was killing them. He was killing them. And just imagine now his mechanics has gotten better, improved, matured. Put him in pinstripes. He doesn't have to bat. You know? He just gets to sit on the mound and cheer. All right, I got out this inning. Y'all guys gave me 6 more runs. Now I get to do backflips. You don't have to run bases or swing. You could do backflips. That's the grind. That's why. It's just, I mean, it's not just so much on that. I mean, any team will go on. If, let's just say, the Nationals were trying to give up Bryce Harper in a trade, they're going to go after the team's best prospect.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it's a pitching, they're going to do that. Because we're giving you a guy that's easily, he's young. So it's not like you're not getting someone that's like 35. He's got like 4 years left of baseball, but he's batting 320 with like 32 home runs and 100, maybe 92 RBIs, and we still got 40 games left of baseball, right? You know, maybe not 32 home runs. Let's just say 22 home runs with like 72 RBIs, batting almost 320, and he's 35. You know, I understand. It's like Jose Bautista all over again. You know, and this is not that kind of deal. Picture that same statistics I gave you, but the guy is 25. It's a difference. You could sign this. You could get this guy to trade and sign him for like 5 years, 6 years. That's just productivity right there for you, man.
I mean, that's pretty much against what the bigwigs have to decide. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be some Yankee fans that are not going to understand that. They're not going to understand why give up, you know, probably your best second baseman ever. You know what I mean? And that he didn't even come up with you. You know, he came up with the Cubs, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to get him, and this kid is special, to just give him away. I mean, we pretty much gave away the Mike Trout. Look where he's at. You know what I mean? Who would have ever thought that guy would have turned out like that? We had him.
Hey, man. So I wouldn't feel bad because...
I'd rather keep him.
I think it was the Mets who gave up... Who the Mets gave up at one point? The Mets gave up somebody at one point. They became a big hitter. It wasn't Markakis, right? Was it Markakis?
I'm not sure.
I know there was some prospects they had given up that ended up being really good, and then the Mets wished they could get him back. I forgot who it was. I gotta find out. I gotta research that. But there's been a lot of players that the Mets have given up that ended up being good, and looking at him now, it's like wow, you know. But the situation, even if the guy was gonna be good during that point, the Mets weren't really making any moves anyway. They weren't making any noise. So it's very different.
We have the chance. Let's say if we don't do that, we go internal and we stay with our pitcher staff and we go with, you know, with the guys that, you know, that I think are going to be pretty good pitchers. We got a fucking gold glove infield for a couple years to come. The way that he's been playing this year, just seeing him, you got Miguel at third, you got Didi at shortstop, you got Torres at second, and you got Bird, who came back from that injury. I mean, he's like a Mark Teixeira, you know what I mean? Like the way he scooped them balls up, and then in that outfield, you got Stanton, you got Aaron Judge. I mean, he saves runs on things. No one's going first to third on him with his strong arm. Every time the ball gets hit out there, they check that, even going third to home,
right?
Because he has a cannon, bro. And then our center field, you know, you mix it up with Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks is pretty good, you know what I mean? But I heard there was some trade talk with even involving Brett Gardner. I mean, who would want him? He's pretty good. He's still fast. He still could hit. You'd be surprised, but I don't think we would get anything like a lot. You would have to build something around him for them to go even get a starting pitcher. You know what I mean? But even his contract is doable. You know what I'm saying? It's he signed, I think it was like 4 years, maybe $54 million. He's probably at his last year. So, you know. But as far as them, like I said, as far as them trading that second baseman, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I said, this will only be a conversation if, and it will only be a sit down if DeGrom was brought into the equation of who they want to trade and who they have to give up for a guy like DeGrom. Because, you know, the backlash would be, and this would, I'm not saying it's 100%, but you got some fans that are actually going to say, well, you guys had to have a problem giving up some of the prospects you had given up before. You know, it's not like you guys are going after somebody that's not valuable to the team, who's not even a stud, right? So why wouldn't you pull the trigger on DeGrom, you know, when he's available? And then come around, and as you know, the Red Sox pull the trade, and they get DeGrom. And then the Red Sox give up their top prospect, or give up Mookie Betts in the mix, a slumping Mookie Betts. Now, the backlash will be on that, because if DeGrom is brought into your attention at first, and the Mets are trying to look out, because that's what they'll be doing. They'll be looking out, because they figured maybe they need some power in their infield. They need somebody consistent in the infield that could play defense really good. Maybe Todd Frazier is going through injuries, or he's just not cutting out. Maybe Todd Frazier is a guy that could come off the bench for them, mm-hmm, when they need to give somebody a rest. Maybe Todd Frazier is not an everyday player, so the Mets are probably looking for an infield, but they're willing to give up DeGrom because right now the Mets are not going anywhere, and they got some prospects in the farm system that they're going to bring up next year, you know. And if you guys don't prove, if the Yankees don't prove that trade, then people are going to be like, wow, you know, maybe that'll be the backlash.
So they pretty much, if they trade him into the division and then trade him to the Red Sox, then everybody will question it then too.
Right. And I think that'll be the
that'll be crazy.
That'll be a worse guy, because then it's like, wow, the DeGrom fell into the Red Sox hands when the Yankees had a chance to pull that trigger and get him. Now DeGrom is gonna be a big part of the Red Sox success, and not to mention that's your rival team, and now you're getting killed by a guy that y'all could have had in your rotation. So I think that'll be more of a backlash in the long run.
Well, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much the end of our discussion on getting that.
Yeah.
we're gonna talk about next time on. What we think, what's that guy again? Oh, yeah, LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Where he going to go?
That's going
to
be.
And even with that thing with Draymond not giving a handshake to Thompson at the end of that game.
Yeah,
that guy's funny. I like him.
Yeah, Draymond, we'll talk about that. Hilarious guy.
I think he's needed for the game, but we'll talk about that next one.
Yeah. All right.